Jesus is the cornerstone, came for sinners to atone, though rejected by his own, he became the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. When I am by sin oppressed, on the stone I am at rest. When the seed of truth is sown, he remains the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Rock of ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, so secure, for all times it shall endure, till his children reach their home. He remains the cornerstone till the breaking of the dawn, till our footsteps cease to roam. Ever let the truth be known. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mrs. Swinton. And he is the cornerstone, amen, of the church. And I enjoy Mrs. Swinton's song and presentation of the song. Let's take our Bible tonight, if you would. Join me in 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Now, while you're turning there, let me just kind of bring you up to speed where we're going to jump into 2 Kings chapter 20. You know, Israel and Judah didn't always have the best kings. Some did much more for God than others. Usually you can tell the difference between the good ones and the bad ones, because usually the good ones, God had something favorable, something like they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That was a pretty good sign that's probably not a bad king. Hezekiah was one of those kings that we're going to look at in just a moment. But I want you to look, if you would, in 2 Kings 20. You can also find this in Isaiah chapter 38, in Isaiah's writings there, and get his vantage point as well in the passage that we're going to read. So let's stand together, 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord. Now here's what I want to look at. The message from the preacher came to the king, and he said, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now I want you to go back to verse number 1, and I want you to look at what the preacher came and told the king. He found out something unexpected was just happened in his life. He came down with some obviously devastating disease that looked like it was about to take his life. The preacher came to him and says, listen, before you go, there's something you need to take care of. You need to set your house in order. And I want to take that phrase and talk to you just a moment about what the information the king, the top guy, got when he faced a crisis situation, and something I think that we can apply to our lives as we enter into the new year. Now, Father, meet with us in the short time that we have. Help us, we pray, from the Scriptures to learn tonight. In the wonderful name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, we find ourselves, here we are, 2 days into 2013. Does it feel any different to you? Or, can I say this to you, was the change just a flip of the calendar to you? Or have you made some commitments, not New Year's resolutions? I'm tired of New Year's resolutions. What I'm concerned about is, have you made any life resolutions? Have you made any lifetime decisions about what you're going to do, not only for God in 2013, but for the rest of your Christianity? You know, a lot of believers across America, a couple of nights ago when they flipped the calendar, that's all it was to them. It was just another flip of the calendar, another day, another year. You see, Hezekiah was a good man. He was considered in Scripture as a good king according to 2 Kings chapter 18. If you'll flip back there for just a moment. You know, the Bible makes these comments about Hezekiah. If you'll look in 2 Kings 18, look in verse number 4. The Scripture says that look at verse 3. It says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father, or David, his father did. Now that's a good commendation from God that you do that which he commands you to do. He did that which was right in the sight of God. But I want you to look at verse number 4. Then it goes on to say that he removed the high places and he broke the images. In other words, what he did, church, is he took a stand in his day against the evil of his day. You see, he was facing opposition. He was facing evil in his day as well. By the way, just like we are today in 2012, we face what seems to be total chaos. Folks, not only just in the world, but in our country today. Immorality is running rampant. Things are going nuts in the economy. We've got to be able to take a stand in our day, just like Hezekiah did. And so he went out and he removed the high places and broke the images, the false gods, the idols of his day. Look on, if you would. It says, then he cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. Now I want you to look at something here. This is interesting because he break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now folks, I don't know about you, but Moses probably top 5 in the Bible. And he went and took the serpent that he made and break it in pieces, because you know what the people were doing? They were serving the creation more than they were the Creator. They were serving, listen to me now, they were worshiping something that was going to do them absolutely no good. And they were serving it and worshiping it. Listen to me, just like today in our society, people are so hooked into religion instead of Jesus. They're hooked into things. They're hooked into high-collar church today, instead of focusing on the thing which God left us here. And Hezekiah, listen, he touched the sacred cow. He exposed false religion because people were worshiping it and they were offering to this golden serpent. Look what else he did in verse number 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He exhibited faith in God's word. Hey, Hezekiah didn't have to understand everything. All he had to do was just do what God told him to do. He just did that which was right. He didn't have to have all the evidence in order to act. But he trusted the Lord. Look on. So that after him, listen to this, was none like him in all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Hey, that's not bad, right? The scripture said there was none like him, there was none before him or after him like Hezekiah. You see, he had committed to God's will and he had committed to the worship, the right kind of worship of God. Look what else he did in verse 6. He clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Now, folks, what I'm trying to get at tonight is this. Hezekiah was an overcomer. Hezekiah, the best I can tell from the scriptures right here, had a pretty good resume, didn't he? Oh, by the way, kind of like some of us. We got a pretty good resume. We show up at church. We serve in the ministry. We may go out soul winning. We give our tithes and offerings. We do all these things. And looking at our resume, everything looks okay, right? So obviously, if we're doing all of this, then we're going to be crisis free for 2013, right? Well, I'm doing right. I mean, I'm doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What more do you want, God? So surely, by me doing all of these things, nothing wrong is going to happen in my life this next year, right? You see, folks, listen. Hezekiah was doing everything that, I mean, his resume was top notch. The scripture said there was no king like before him like him in Judah and none after him in Judah. And yet, we find in 2 Kings chapter 20, now he's stricken with a sickness and the scripture says, unto death. You see, here in our studies, it wasn't that Hezekiah's heart was in question. It wasn't that his desire was in question. It wasn't that his spirit of leadership was in question. You see, the issue that we're facing here was this. Hezekiah was 25 years old, the scripture says, when he began to reign. He was 39 years old when he was stricken with the sickness. How many of you are below 40 years old? Raise your hand. I want you to look around. Okay? Brother Ogden? Okay, I expect it. Now, listen. There's a lot of people here under the age of 40. Do you realize what Hezekiah was facing at 39 years old? He was facing the end of his life. Now listen, he had a great resume. All of these wonderful things were happening in his life. But the preacher came and said, listen, I understand you're doing all this, but I got a message from God to you. Set your house in order. It's time for you to look at the big picture, Mr. King. It's time for you not only to look at what's going on in your life, but what's going on in your home, in your kingdom. You see, folks, what we've got to do in 2013 is we've got to see the whole picture. We've got to look at the big picture. You see, just because we've got a good resume doesn't mean that we're not going to face difficult times. Sure, Hezekiah had weaknesses. You go read about his life, he didn't always make the right decisions. He wasn't a real good discerner sometimes, but in doing things. He didn't always deal with crisis very well. And often, listen now, he allowed fear to overcome him, listen, to the place to where it affected his decisions. Now listen, folks, we're entering into a new year as a church. We're entering into a new year as a child of God. There are unexpected things that you and I will face, not only individually, but as a church as well. Hezekiah, 39 years old, had no idea that he was about to face a crisis in his life. But you know what he did? The thing about it is when he faced his crisis and he knew that Sennacherib was coming, he knew that the threats were coming and they were going to try to destroy the kingdom. Hezekiah's life was not without unexpected challenges. But there was no challenge greater than he faced than to set his house in order. I want to say to you tonight, church, for just a few moments tonight, I want to take this phrase, I want to dissect it for the few moments that we have, and I want us to look at each word in this phrase because I think each one of them tell us a little bit of something about what our personal responsibility is. The preacher came to him and he says, listen, here's the condition, here's the situation. Hey, he didn't know at 39 years old that he was going to be facing this, now did he? He didn't realize that this would be probably one of those challenging times that he had faced as a king. He'd only been reigning 14 years. He started at 25, now he's 39. Listen, folks, he's in the prime of his life. He's probably at the point of his life that everything should be going well. Everything should be bright. But he's faced with a situation that he didn't expect. Now, with that said, you and I have no idea what 2013 holds for us as an individual or as a church. And one of the things that we need to be prepared for is this. We need to take the advice the preacher gave this king. We need to set our house in order. We need to make sure that things are where they need to be in our life. I want you to notice what he said in this phrase. First of all, I want us to look at the word set. That means to put. That means to place or fix. It means to cause to rest in a certain place. Listen, if we're going to set our house in order, if we're going to fix it, if we're going to place it in a place that is very certain, if we're going to do that, there's a couple things we're going to have to do. Number one, you're going to have to know what you believe. You're going to have to know what you believe. Listen, we live in a day and time, folks, to where the truth is being so watered down, most of the world doesn't know what the truth is from a hole in their head. They have no idea. Why? Because it's being watered down. And every day I speak, more versions are being put on the shelf. More watering down is being put on the shelf. That's the reason you go to the local bookstore today. Somebody goes in there that's a young believer, and they go, listen, I'm looking for a Bible. The next thing they're going to hear is, which Bible? Well, I didn't think there was but one. Oh, no, we got 244. Now, folks, listen. I was born and raised in Mississippi. But to me, that seems like that's confusion. Now, listen, if God's not the author, that means that somebody is. Now, what I'm trying to tell us tonight is this. If you're going to set your house in order for the future, not just 2013, but for the rest of your life, if you're going to put things in place and cause them to rest in a certain way, you're going to have to know what you believe. Know what you believe. Listen, this book is either true or it's not true. You see, we have the inerrant Word of God in our hand today in the King James Bible. But you're going to have to know what you believe. Number two, you're going to have to know why you believe it. Not just know what you believe, you need to know why you believe it. You see, the thing about it is in our leadership meeting tonight, we handed out commitment forms and screening forms and things for people to sign that want to be a leader, that want to have a place of service. Folks, listen, we don't just go and randomly think, well, let's see if we can make something up here. Let's see if we can put this on there, put that on there. No, there's a reason. Why? Because our church believes in leadership. And leadership requires responsibility. And what comes with leadership is accountability. You see, we don't hand out screening forms and commitment forms just to have something to sign. We believe that this is the direction that God is leading our church. So not only do we need to know what we believe if we're going to set our house in order or place it or put it in a place that is certain, we're going to have to know why we believe it. You know, you ought to be prepared to give an answer to all men. Now, in order to do that, you're going to need to know the Bible. But you need to know why you believe what you believe. You see, most Baptists get all tangled up when they talk to someone about what they say they believe. But you need to know why you believe it. You need to know what you believe. And then may I say next, you need to know how to communicate what you believe. You not only need to know what you believe, you need to know why you believe it, but you need to know how to communicate that. How do I take what I believe and communicate it to someone else? How am I able to get the truth to them where it's understandable? May I say to you tonight, church, when the preacher came to Hezekiah, he said, set, place, fix, put in a certain resting place in a certain way. You know what I'm telling us tonight? We got to be proactive. We got to be proactive. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. And we need to know how to communicate what we believe. You see, these are some of the things that Hezekiah had to settle in himself first. You see, he had to address himself first in order to set his house in order. I want you to notice the second thing there. He says, set thine house. Oh boy. Do you know I've got enough to shake a stick at 1011 Woodbrook? Do you know I've got enough going on in my own house? That's the reason he said, set thine, yours. Because when I stand before God, Brother Montsevice, I'm not going to have to give an account for your family. But I am going to have to give an account for mine. That's the reason I am to set, put in place, in a fix, in a certain way. I've got to know what I believe, why I believe it, and how to communicate it. And mamas and daddies, you need to know how to communicate what you believe to your children. You say, well, they hear it at church. No, no, no. No, they need to hear it from you. They need to be taught by you. Let me tell you something. You're talking, look, there's a lot of cults out there. But you know something these cults have that most of religion doesn't have today and most Baptists don't have today? They do teach their people. And I mean, they drill it in their people. Over and over and over and over again. From this high all the way up. And you know where it begins? It begins in the home. That's the reason he said, set thine. He said, that which belongs to you, that which is related to you. Now listen, what this does then, it indicates personal responsibility. Now, it would be great if you came to church and you got everything you needed for life and didn't have to do anything, right? You could just go home, say, man, I got everything I need. But it doesn't work that way, folks. All the church does is a place for you and I to come to worship God, to get information, but we have to apply it. There has to be an application of what we get here in the home. So the preacher said, set, place in a certain way, thine, yours, individual. He said, because it's you that's going through this situation. It's you your life is about to end. It's you that I'm talking to. He said, I'm talking to you, King. He said, set thine. It indicates personal responsibility. Now, church, let me say this. We're responsible for our individual preparation. Our individual preparation. Remember in Amos chapter 4, verse number 12? Remember there, the word comes to the people of God from the prophet Amos. He said, prepare to meet thy God. That means there's some preparation. Oh, by the way, we are going to meet him. Okay, that appointment is already set. You cannot cancel that appointment. That is already set. We will meet our God. And here Amos says, prepare. Get ready. There's some personal preparation that takes place. Listen, this was the first responsibility Hezekiah addressed. Did you see that when the preacher came and gave him the information, set thine house in order, what was the first thing he did? He turned his face, and who did he call on? The Lord. He wept before the Lord. He said, yeah, but where'd that get him? You know, 15 more years. Not bad. Right? I wonder how many of us that death could be waiting for in 2013. But if you sought the face of the Lord says, you know what? Like, I'm going to give you some extra time. Because you're interested in the things I'm interested in. What if Hezekiah would say, you know what? I'm telling you, that's just the story of my life. I can't believe that this is happening to me. I'm 39. I can't believe this. God said, well, go ahead and believe it because you're fixing to go at 39. But he didn't take that attitude. He knew that there was a personal preparation that needed to take place. When you go back and read in 2 Kings 18, the word I is used twice in that one verse. Where Hezekiah said, I. You know why? Because he took personal responsibility and he understood that there was personal preparation. But not only was there personal preparation, he was responsible for his influential preparation. Did you know Hezekiah had a king, had a kingdom? Did you know Hezekiah had other people under him? And when the preacher said, set thine house in order, listen, I believe personally that he was talking about his personal home, but he also had a kingdom to set in order. Who's going to take over? I mean, who's going to run this after you go off the scene? Have you prepared anybody? Have you groomed anybody? Have you set anything up? You know, probably one of the biggest weaknesses of most of us is we're not very good organizers. We're not very good planners. And the thing is, yes, we ought to live in the is of life and the now. But listen, the thing is, folks, listen, we do need to plan. We do need to organize. And Hezekiah had a kingdom to set in order. You and I, though, have a home. We have a family. We have a church to think about and to consider. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm just going to throw it out there, okay? You see, we need to think about our influential preparation. Do you know all this is going to be burned up one day, folks? Now, I don't know how many of you have gone through situations to where a loved one passed on and you had to go through the will and all of these things had to be distributed and stuff. And I've only had to endure that one time, not my personal family, but in helping someone else go through that. And they left all of their stuff to different people, and everybody was mad at each other because somebody got one thing more than the other, or somebody got this. Now listen, I'm just going to throw this out. You can do what you want. Have you ever thought about thinking about God in your will? Have you thought about, instead of leaving everything to family and letting them fight over it and punch each other at your funeral, have you ever thought about considering God and willing God some things so that could be used in the ministry to reach more people for Christ, to buy more buses, to reach more people in ministry? You see, the thing about us, we think of everything else except God at death. You know who Hezekiah thought of? He thought of God. You know what it got him? 15 more years. You see why? Because at death, he wasn't thinking, oh my goodness, who am I going to leave all this to? Oh my goodness, who's going to take over my bank accounts? Oh my goodness, my car, the house. Oh my God, all this. No, you know what he did? Immediately he thought of God. Think about it. Think about it tonight. Have you ever thought about leaving a portion of your inheritance to the Lord through your local church? Now listen, I'm not anti-family, anti-charity. I'm just pro-God and pro-church. You see, a lot of times we don't think about it. But you know what the preacher said? Set thine personal responsibility, individual preparation, influential preparation. But then he goes on to say, set thine house. Set thine house. That's our household affairs. That's our domestic concerns. You know, nobody likes to think about death, but you know it's a reality. It happens. You know why I know it happens? It happened more in our church last year than it has in the previous 20-something years that I've been here. Death came to our church quite often last year. Now the thing about it is, I don't know what 2013 holds, but I know this. We need to set thine house. In other words, what? Your household affairs, your domestic concerns. Now I'm just going to throw this out there and move on. But have you ever thought about who is going to control your estate after you're gone? Who is going to be the one that's going to control? Who's going to be the one to distribute? Who's going to be the one that's going to have the specifics? And by the way, whatever you do, you better have paperwork done. You better have paperwork done so to make sure that your wishes are in paper, and you better have more than one copy. And you better make sure that whoever is going to be the power of attorney or whoever is going to be in charge has a copy. You've got a copy. And maybe even the dog's got a copy in his doghouse. But who's going to control it? Listen, I'm just telling you, folks, we don't think about these kind of things. And neither did Hezekiah. One, but 39. Preacher said, set thine house. You got some responsibility, sir. How are you going to appropriate your stewardship? There's three things that you need to appropriate. One, number one, family. You say, family, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what's going to happen to mamas and daddies. What happens to your little ones if something happens to you in an accident and both of your lives are taken? Have you ever thought about who's going to take your little ones? Have you ever thought about putting any documents, anything in place? Listen, I'm just saying, set your house in order. Be prepared. You don't know what this new year holds for you. Family, documents. Secondly, funds, financial accounts, all of the things, investments, whatever. Listen, all of that needs to be readily available. So family, funds, and then what I call favor. In other words, if you have a business, who's going to take that over? You're just going to leave it? Hey, guys, if you're on your own business, does the wife know anything about it? Does she know where the accounts are, where the checkbooks are, who's on the account? Does she know any of that? All I'm saying is set your house in order. You know, I think it's wise that those that are in leadership in your home, that there's other people that know where all the documents are other than you. Because you know what dies with you? Where the documents are. You say, well, I hid them so nobody can find them. I know. But somebody needs to find them. Right? Somebody needs to know where they are. You say, why are you preaching this, preacher, on the first Wednesday night of the new year? Because, listen, some of us are going to face this and you better have your house set in order. Let me look at the last thing. And that is, he said, set thine house in order. In other words, there needs to be an arrangement according to priorities. You need to arrange things according to priorities. You need to prioritize everything with biblical value. In other words, everything that I am, everything that I have, what does God say is priority? Whatever is priority, that needs to be priority to you. That needs to be priority to me. Now, folks, listen, I'm going to throw this out there. You can do what you want. I'm just going to say, you know what's number one priority with God? Souls. That's number one priority. Now, listen, He's for a relationship. He wants a relationship. But as far as our responsibility on this earth, our number one priority is to reach souls. You see, the thing about it is, half the time, someone goes off the scene, they leave their estate, they leave things to people that take it and go sell it and use it on drugs and alcohol. Amen, preacher. I'm just saying prioritize with biblical value. You say, but these are people I love. That leads me to the next one. When you set your house in order, another arrange according to priority, that you ought to prioritize with biblical value. Listen now, you ought to penalize for biblical non-compliance. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before I leave any of my family members who are not right with God anything. You say, you're mean. No, I'm not, because I know what they'll do with it. Why would I leave it to them when they'll waste it? Why don't I just give it to the church and let them buy some buses with it? Why don't I give it to somebody and let them do something of eternal value with it? I like the bumper sticker I saw the other day. I was driving behind an older couple. They pulled up to the stoplight and I pulled in behind them. Big old bumper sticker said, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. You know what? There's a lot of truth to that. And you know what they're doing? They're probably saving their kids a lot of heartache and headache. You see, set your house in order. Prioritize with biblical value. But listen, it's going to be hard decisions. There's going to have to be some penalizing for biblical noncompliance. There are those who have been careless before. Let me ask you this. What makes you think things are going to change when you go? They're not going to change. They're going to take what you worked hard for and waste it. If they're wasting it now, they'll waste it then. Don't facilitate sin. Don't facilitate a wasting for the sake of compassion. Hey, I'm all for compassion. But you know something? I'm not going to pull money out of my pocket and give a known drug addict money to go buy drugs with. Why would I do that? Why would I take it and put it in the hands of so where it can be used for eternal value? And then the last thing, emphasize the biblical principle of preeminence of Christ. Emphasize the biblical principle of the preeminence of Christ. Now listen carefully, I'm done. Because Hezekiah responded to Isaiah's message, God showed him favor and extended him 15 more years to reign. Because you know what he did? When the message came, set thine house in order, the first thing he did was realize, I can't do this by myself. I cannot set my house in order by me. So you know who he turned to? The Lord. And he cried out to the Lord. And you know what the Lord said he saw? He saw the tears. He saw the heart. He saw a man that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Listen, he had a great resume, but he had his weaknesses. He had his faults. Go read about his life. He wasn't always the greatest discerner. One crazy thing he did is he brought the enemy in and showed them all the things in the house of God. And you know what they did? They came in and took everything. He wasn't the smartest guy and the sharpest pencil in the box. But you know what? The thing about it is God said, that's all right. He said, you got flaws. I realize that. But he said, I can see your heart. And your heart tells me that there's potential, there's hope. And here's what Hezekiah did when the news came. He didn't curse God. He turned to the Lord. And God says, you know what? Because I see the heart, I'm going to extend you 15 more years. I don't know about you folks, but you know what? I'll take 15 more years, wouldn't you? I'll take 15 years over 15 weeks or 15 months because we have no idea what 2013 holds. As your pastor, let me commission you tonight. Set your house in order. You have no idea what this year faces for you. Live it heartily. Live it as unto the Lord. Do the things that Isaiah told Hezekiah to do. Set, put in place, in a fix, in a certain way. Thine, your personal. Why? Because you're going to give an account for it. He said, your house, your personal affairs. Make sure that everything is set so if something happens, people know where things are, where documents are, what the plans are. And then set thine house in order. Prioritize. Sometimes you're going to have to penalize. Sometimes there's people that think, oh, where's mine? Their name's not listed on the wheel anywhere. You say, man, that's tough. You know what? Yeah, it is. But there's a God in heaven that deserves my care, my love, my respect over people who are not in compliance with the things of God. And then just emphasize the preeminence of Christ. What's important to God, make it important to you. I want you to bow your heads for a moment tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. If you slip your hand way up, I said, I've been a born-again Christian, or I am a born-again Christian. No question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. Slip it way up high. All right. God bless you. You can put your hand.